My perfect holiday will begin with a comfy chair and overlooking the ocean with a cup of coffee and my latest crime thriller. I am a crime thriller junkie. I don't read historical fiction or fantasy or science fiction. Just give me a nasty crime, a clever detective, and a solved mystery. And maybe that's why you don't like crime fiction. Because in the books, the crime is always solved and the bad guy always ends up dead or in prison. But that's not real life. In real life, criminals get away and crimes aren't solved. But I want them solved. I want the happy ending in my books and get upset when that doesn't happen. So in short, I think real life is the stuff of unhappy endings and fiction is the stuff of happy endings. So you can see that does then present me with a problem when we come to the last chapter of the book of Job, which ends with a very, very happy ending. I like it, and in a sense I wouldn't want it any other way, but the ending of Job sounds just too good to be true. It sounds more like the world of fiction than the world of real life. So we come now to Job 42 and the last chapter, and it begins with Job acknowledging something he's known all along, that the plans of God cannot be thwarted. Which would be terrifying if God were not just and good. And that's been Job's dilemma all along. All this power God has been focused on harming him, who is good and innocent. And in what Job says in these opening words, he shows he understands the thrust of what God has just said to him. He's grasped that God's plans are far more complex than his limited and blinkered vision would have allowed. Even the most righteous person, the wisest philosopher, the cleverest theologian can't really work out, understand fully God's plans and purposes. God simply hasn't told us. When I was 10 years old, my family moved from England to Australia. I was happy in England. I was in a good school. I was doing well in school. I had many good friends. And then without being told, we were just told to leave everything behind and move to Australia. We endured a horrendous 4 weeks on a ship in a cramped cabin with my parents constantly seasick. We were put in a migrant hostel like refugees. I went to a new school where I was just a kid with a funny accent. I have very few happy memories of those years, and I never knew why our parents had done this. Later, I understood why. Did they make the right decision? Well, absolutely they did. And if they did nothing else for us but bring us here, they are very good parents. And there's similarly a hiddenness in how God has ordered the world. Has he made the right decisions? Oh, we'd say in the end, absolutely. But for now, frustrating as that is, that's the closest the Bible comes to solving for us the problem of evil, the great big why which hangs over so much that happens in our world and happens in our lives. And yet through this all, Job will say he's come to experience God in a fresh new way. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job's been given a fresh understanding of God, which has transformed his life. He's come to know God in a new, real, and more experiential way. Which is why Job's last words come as such a shock and a surprise. Job says, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Which seems like a complete backflip of all he said since chapter 3. I mean, what's Job repenting of? His words? Well, no, God will say in a moment that Job has spoken rightly of him. Is he repenting of a lack of faith? Well, no, he's questioned, he's cried out, but he's never doubted God's power and even God's goodness, really. Is he repenting of some sin? Well, no, that's been Job's claim from the beginning. I've done nothing to deserve this kind of treatment. No, what Job is turning away from is a life of sorrow and mourning. It's better to read this verse as, "I repent of dust, of sackcloth and ashes." Job is saying, "I'm ready to get up, throw off this cloak of sorrow and misery, rejoin society, and return to the life I once knew." And that's just what happens. If you were in any doubt that Job wasn't repenting of any sin he's committed, what happens next in verses 5 to 9 removes that doubt, as God rebukes Job's friends. In short, he says, Job has spoken rightly of me, you have spoken wrongly. Job is wise, you've been fools. Well, where do we see the folly of Job's friends? Well, they've judged an innocent man without any evidence. They've arrogantly claimed they know the plans of God and his purposes. Like those preachers who claim to know why God has sent a pandemic or why you have cancer. They've spoken when they should have been silent. And they've turned a world that's complex, a world often bewildering and mysterious, into a world of black and white cliches. And they're soundly rebuked. And so we come to the happy ending. Everything Job lost, health, wealth, family, esteem, is returned to him in abundance. Twice as many sheep, oxen, donkeys, camels, a full social calendar, 10 children, including 3 girls famed for their beauty around the world. And just to emphasize how radical is Job's righteousness, how it's centuries ahead of its time, he makes his daughters co-heirs with his sons of all his vast wealth. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. A happy ending. But satisfying as that is, it does present a problem for us, doesn't it? You see, one of the points of the book of Job is to challenge one of the great misconceptions people have about what's called the principle of retribution. We've already discussed that. It's the idea that you reap what you sow. That is, do good, you live a happy, long and prosperous life. Do evil, you suffer misery and turmoil. And the book of Job is proclaimed loud and clear, it's not that simple. Don't apply this without discretion. The good often suffer. The bad often live a long, happy and prosperous life. So be very careful how you apply this principle. But now, at the end of the book, the world's most righteous man becomes again the world's richest man, the world's most popular man, and the man with the world's most beautiful daughters. So what do we make of this? Well, it reminds us that the book of Job is not a blanket rejection of the principle of retribution. I mean, a God who is just must in the end bring justice. I mean, to let the guilty go free forever would hardly be the work of a just and powerful God, and to allow the martyrs to simply die at the end of a rope would hardly be fair. So the book isn't rejecting the principle of retribution, just qualifying its application. In this life, there are Jobs, and you may be one of them. The Apostle Paul died at the hands of Caesar. He died alone and rejected. Among his last words were these: at my first hearing, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. In this age, there was no vindication for Paul, a faithful servant who suffered terribly. He died alone with no one standing with him. But Paul's next words were, may it not be held to their account. You see what Paul is saying? In this age, there's no justice. I will die alone and my friends will desert me. But that's not the end of the story. For there is another age and another day when people, all people, are held to account. And the end of the book of Job points us forward to that day. I've never really understood why Christians are embarrassed about the Day of Judgment. One of our favourite Christian words, which adorn so many of our hymns, is the word hallelujah. It appears only 4 times in the New Testament, all in Revelation 19 and in the Songs of Judgment. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. In the Bible, Judgment Day is Hallelujah Day. It's the day when Job is proved righteous, when Job's friends are exposed for the fools they are, when the martyrs and faithful Christians receive their crown, when sinners receive their just deserts. And that day ushers in a brand new age, an age of wonderful abundance, when we will be with Christ co-heirs of all creation, when we will live together with God and with one another in celebration. And that's why, you see, the unhappy ending just jars with us. We feel like crying out, that's not the way it's meant to be. You see, God has wired us for the happy ending because God has ordained for us the happy ending. Job is a wonderful book. There are a couple of allusions to the book in the New Testament, but only one reference to Job by name, and that's James chapter 5. Where we read, he says, James says to his readers, if you have heard of Job's perseverance. He's a model for us to patiently persevere. And those words are written, again, in the context of judgment. James writes, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. The judge is standing at the door. As Job in hard times hung in there. Now, yes, he cried out, he questioned, he pleaded, he lamented. But through it all, he trusted and persevered and was rewarded. Be like Job. One of my heroes in church history is a man, he's called Blind Chang. Cheng Shen, before he became a Christian, was a womanizer, a drunkard, a thief, but became a believer at a mission hospital. But later, he lost his sight. He travelled around Manchuria, just preaching the gospel and seeing many people come to faith. In 1899, the Boxer Rebellion hit. It was anti-Christian and anti-Western. And at one point, the Boxers rounded up 50 Christians for execution. But someone said, unless you capture Cheng Shen, the foreign faith will keep on growing. And they said, well, bring him here, and we release these 50 men. And Cheng Shen said, I'll gladly go there. Take me to them. The Boxer said to him, bow down and worship our gods. And Cheng Shen refused. He said, I'll only worship the one true God. And he bowed down and worshipped Christ. They bound him with ropes. They put him in a cart and took him to the cemetery for execution. And on the way, he sang out loud the song, the first song he'd learned as a new believer, at the mission hospital. Jesus loved me, he who died. Heaven's gate are open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Cheng Shen patiently persevered, as did Job, as will we, to receive our great reward. Amen.